Good morning. It's a privilege to be here with you, and greetings in the name of Jesus, and also greetings from the Light of Truth congregation, and extend a welcome for you all to visit there as you have opportunity. The title I was given for the service that was canceled back in April, I think it was Finding Confidence in Christ. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. That's the title for this morning's message, Finding Confidence in Christ. You may open up your Bibles a while to the book of Hebrews in chapter 10. That's where we're going to be looking for the majority of the thoughts for this morning's message, Hebrews chapter 10. As I was pondering the title and the subject, and as you ponder for a message, you think back over your own life and experiences, and think about struggling with insecurity or finding your way in life, or maybe it's, as I pondered this topic, I thought of two distinct or two maybe separate areas that can be common areas of struggle. The first one being the area of salvation. How do I know that I'm saved? And how do I know that my sins are taken care of, and how can I gain victory over sin? And it's maybe common for young people, you know, come to the age of accountability and start the Christian life, and some of those struggles we carry with us through our youth up into adulthood. So that's the first part of the message. I'd like to look maybe a little bit at that area. And then maybe as we grow a little older, or we mature a little, and we begin to wonder, what can I do for God? And what is God's plan for my life? What place do I have to fill? Is this the church God has for me? Does God want me to marry, or does he want me to be single? And so we can have the struggle with finding fulfillment and confidence in what God has for us in life. And that we'll maybe look at a little more in the second part of the message this morning. Some of these questions are part of a healthy tension in life. If there's no tension ever in life, I question health. And I also propose that finding confidence in God and in our salvation is more important than having it all figured out where we think God wants us to be and exactly how he wants us to serve him, because we can go to the scriptures for some direct answers on the first one and the second one. Maybe the answers don't come as directly sometimes. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to start reading at verse 19, and for right now we're going to read down to verse 31. And as we read, see if you can pick out some confidence words in these verses. Verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So first of all, in the first part of the message, I just want to think about understanding our position of confidence. Where does our confidence in Christ, where does Christian confidence come from? Verse 19 tells us, we can enter into the presence of God by the power and virtue in the blood of Jesus. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness, into the holiest. And this is a referring back to the Old Testament Holy of Holies in the temple. And you Bible scholars know who could enter into the Holy of Holies. It was the high priest 2 times a year. Who can enter into the presence of God today? You and I can enter into the presence of God by a new and living way. Verse 20, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. We know what happened on the day Jesus was hanging there on the cross, and he said, it is finished. That veil of the temple that hid the eyes of the people from the Holy of Holies, it was torn from top to bottom. And now we're living in this time of a new and a living way that Jesus initiated through his death. And in this way, in this life, we can enter into his presence honestly and unashamedly. Does that give you any confidence? Does that give you, what does that do for us? Thinking about entering into the presence of Almighty God, our Creator, our Maker, our Sustainer, the one who died for us. We can enter with prayer, with praise, with reading His Word. We can enter to worship Him. Verse 21, the second thought about our Christian confidence. Because we have an high priest, it says in verse 21, we can in confidence, going on into verse 22, there's a few things we can do in confidence. First one we can do is we can draw near. We can draw near with a true heart. With a pure heart, our heart can be transformed. Our heart can be honest and sincere, and so also can be our bodies. Our bodies washed with pure water. We, because of what Jesus did there on the cross, we can be free from sin. Because of Jesus' sacrifice. Many times if we're struggling with confidence, the temptation is to live out at the fringes, to live at the edge, or like the woman who had the issue of blood, she just wanted to touch the hem of his garment. And we can be that, and that was a great act of faith of her, but we no longer have to sneak up behind Jesus and just touch the hem of his garment in secret. We can come right in to the Holy of Holies, right into the center. And to me, this speaks of belonging. If a new visitor would come in today, they would be a little timid about possibly coming in here if they would never have entered a service like this before. But and so it is when we're new and when we're not experienced, but when we know who Jesus is, we can come right in. We can come right into his presence and we can belong. We can be included. When you feel wanted, you feel free to draw near. Because we have a high priest, verse 23, it tells us, let us hold fast. Do you see any confidence in those words? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? It gives us the answers in those parentheses in your King James Bible. For he is faithful that promised. We can hold fast because we're holding fast to something that will never change or will never fail. We spend a lot of time in life looking for those things, and sometimes we just look at all the wrong places because there is only one that will never change and can never fail. We spend time looking for good investments. We spend time looking for something that's going to return on investment, right? When you want to invest some money, you're concerned what your return is going to be. Dear ones, this is a safe investment. The one who is faithful that promised, the one who will never fail. Anything you invest into this type, into Jesus, into God and his kingdom, is a safe investment. And so let's hold fast. Let's invest in the right places if you want confidence. Then it tells us, verse 24, consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. And it goes on to say, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together and exhort one another. So much more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 3:13 tells us to exhort one another lest you become hardened with the deceitfulness of sin. And so I wrote this down. Confidence comes from togetherness. Confidence comes from not being alone. I don't know if you've ever experienced the feeling of being alone in life, but it's not a very confidence-inspiring time. But we can gather together here this morning, and I trust as you gather together on Wednesday nights and on Sunday mornings, it does something for your confidence. It does for me. I remember many times going to prayer meeting, can you say feeling burned out or discouraged or just you had a heavy workload that week, and it just happened again the other week. It's like, oh, it would just be so nice just to stay home and relax tonight. But you come away from that service, and it's just a simple service of reading a little scripture and singing a few songs and praying together. But it does something for my confidence, because we assembled together, because we encouraged and exhorted one another. And then another thought about confidence is this. And we're moving on to, verse 26 here. I got this thought out of where it says, if we sin willfully, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. I wrote this down. There is no farther sacrifice or remedy for our sins beyond Jesus. And that should bring us confidence, because that is something we do not need to question. We do not need to look for other ways and other avenues and other remedies and other cures that this world is trying to offer. And they're trying to offer a lot of them. And people search the world, or they search and search and search for something new to help them deal with their problems. Nothing man has to offer will take care of our deepest needs. And without faith in the work of the shed blood of Jesus, there are no answers. And if we choose to continue sinning instead of accepting the blood of Jesus and his answers for our life, the only thing that remains for us is judgment. And we read that in verses 27 to 31. And so I propose, in order to become confident Christians, we need to choose to leave sin behind. Because it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. That's verse 31. I don't know how you find it, but fear is one of the number one confidence breakers. As soon as fear enters in, confidence goes out the window. And so we need to draw near in that relationship with, in order to gain confidence. That is the only relationship that will give real confidence in life. Now I want to shift into the second part of the message, and we're going to continue reading here, starting at verse 32. Thinking more about what is God's plan for my life, and what if it feels like I am losing or have lost my confidence? Maybe this is beyond the first few steps of the Christian life. Those who are maturing, those who are wondering, what is God up to when God seems silent? Verse 32. Call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction, partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For ye have had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, after that ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Starts out here by telling us in verse 32, call to remembrance the former days. Do you recall the joy that you had the night you became a Christian? Whether it was when you went and knocked on your parents' bedroom door, or you stood at revivals, or do you recall the freedom? Do you recall how that felt? Do you recall those first few days, how precious God's word was to you? Do you recall the struggles you faced in those first days? Do you recall how much you were ready to suffer for him and how excited you were about your Christian life? And so I ask you, if you're struggling with confidence, if I'm struggling with confidence, what happened between then and now? What changed? Have you put up any altars in your life, any markers of remembrance that you can look back to? Call to remembrance the former days. Call to remembrance that, you know, verse 34, the end there, you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. And it tells us, cast not away therefore your confidence. If you have it, if you have let it slip, regain it, take it back, find it again. Go on a quest for it. Don't live without it. Don't give up now. When it feels like life is at a stalemate, or you're beginning to wonder where your purpose and place in life is, remember your confidence carries glorious compensation. The end of verse 35. It tells us, which hath great recompense of reward. If you and I keep our confidence, our faith in God, there is a payday coming. But verse 36 tells us something else. It says, first of all, you have need of patience. You and I have need of patience, because the confidence payday, maybe not quite yet. You know, those of us that get a paycheck every 2 weeks, you don't get paid at the end of every day. You just know that you recorded your hours, and you hope the money's still going to be there in your employer's bank account when it comes around time for payday. Well, hopefully it's not that bad. But with God, we know that payday is coming. And we know, we talked about the God who cannot change and who cannot fail. And though life has its seasons, in each season we need to choose steadfast continuance where we are at. We need to choose to do the will of God as we currently understand it. And then the last point I see in this passage is this thought in verse 38, the just shall live by faith. Now, we already talked about this some in our adult Sunday school class here, but what does it mean, the just shall live by faith? And then it says, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That's what happens when we lose our confidence. We draw back. We take a step back. Fear enters in again. Here comes that word again, the master confidence breaker. The story is told of, well, let me say this first of all. This word draw back, I understand, literally means take down a sail. That's how they would have used it in the original language. The story is told of Hudson Taylor. And Hudson Taylor was a missionary, and I believe he was, I forget if he was traveling to China or to India, someone maybe that knows the story of Hudson Taylor better, but they were traveling by ship, of course, and it was a ship powered by sails. It was before the days of steamships. They were traveling, he was traveling, leaving his home country and traveling to his destination, where he was assigned a mission post. And they were in what in sailing is called the doldrums. And the doldrums, as I understand it, I'm not a sailor, but is when you have very light winds and you can make a little forward progress during the day while the winds are going, and then at night, the winds die down, what light wind there is, and the current basically carries you back as far as you went forward that day. Today we say you take, you know, two steps forward and one step backwards. That's the doldrums of sailing. They were in the doldrums, and the current was carrying them toward a barrier island or a barrier reef, and they knew if the current would carry them there, it would wreck the ship. They also knew on that island lived cannibals. And they knew they didn't want to experience that. That's not the destination. That's not what they had in mind. So the captain of the ship was not a Christian. He did not have faith in God, but he knew he was carrying this great missionary. And so he went to him and some of the other Christians that were on the ship, and he said, if you believe in God, you better get down on your knees and start praying. Praying for a wind to carry us the right direction. Hudson's answer was, I will pray, but before I pray, you better put up the sails. I'm not going to pray until you put up the sails. And so the captain did, and Hudson did, and the wind came. Are any of us at the point that we're ready to take down the sails of life? Or are we willing to leave them up there in faith that the wind is coming? If any man take down the sail, my soul hath no pleasure in him. But yet, in the doldrums of life, the temptation is to take down the sail, to draw back. My encouragement is keep the sail unfurled. Keep it out there. Keep it up there. And keep having faith that God will send the wind when he wants you to move. It will come. Maybe not as you're expecting it, but have your sails up so you don't miss it. Just a few concluding practical thoughts here. maybe not directly from Scripture, but just some thoughts I jotted down as I thought about confidence and finding God's will for my life. Understand my sphere of influence and what God has given me and what my talents and interests are. And as I seek to understand what God wants me to do in life, the first place you should maybe start is by looking where God has placed you and realizing that there is only one you. And I'm not saying that you should be proud of that, but there's some specific things in life that only you can do. If you're the father or the teacher or the business owner, and if you're not doing those things, it's going to take someone else to step out of their place in order to take your place. So we're trying to find God's will in life. Do the things that only you can do, first of all. And be engaged where you are currently. Be engaged and all in. How can I expect, if I'm not engaged, if I'm not entering into life as it is right now, where God has placed me right now, and I'm just this, you know, I think God needs to do something different in my life. Is that going to change? Is that attitude going to change when God does bring something different in my life? And then I wrote down restlessness and resignation, and I'm still pondering how these two go together, but I believe in a sense, we need them both, a dose of both at the same time. And I think, in a sense, we need to live in a healthy, restless resignation, if I can say it that way. We need to be looking and asking ourselves the question, is there more I can be doing for God? Is there something else God wants to change or work on in my life? But we don't need to ask the question so hard that it unsettles us. We can be expecting the wind to blow and okay with the wind not blowing in the direction I want to go. Restless and resigned. And again, a proper understanding of fear. Matthew 10:28 gives us that. Fear not them which kill the body but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And we hear the word or the acronym FOMO today, fear of missing out. Well, there's only one thing we should be fearing missing out on. That's eternity with Jesus. But as humans, we fear that we're going to miss something. We're going to miss something fun. We're going to miss doing something great. We're going to miss. And so we get scared to commit because if I commit to this and I say I'm going to do this over here, what if something else comes along and, you know, what I really wanted to do is over here and I get asked to do that after I committed to do this over here? Well, don't be afraid to commit. The only real fear you should have of missing out is the end of life when Jesus comes. And then a closing word to, can I say pastors, to the fathers, to the ones with responsibility, to the teachers. If you want your youth and young people to have and to find confidence in Christ, I believe we need to be expressing confidence in them. And I had to think back of times in my life when I was not, can you say, fully worthy of confidence, but someone gave me an encouraging word and said, you can do this, and I trust you can make it. And really, it's expressing maybe not a confidence in them, but expressing your confidence to them in the God that can do it for them. If you study the writings of the Apostle Paul and how many times in his letters to the churches, and we know he wrote the letters to the churches to address needs and problems and make corrections, but amidst that, he expressed confidence time and time again, the word confidence. 2 Corinthians is a good example. There's like four times in the book of 2 Corinthians, he expressed his confidence that he knew they were going to come through. He knew they were going to make it. He just expressed that confidence in them. And so if we as leaders and fathers and whatever other mothers lose confidence in someone, how can you ever expect them to find it? And so God bless you as you endeavor to serve him here at Tyrone or wherever you are from, and whatever calling God has put on your life, let me remind you, he is the only one worth serving. He is the only one that will not and cannot change, and he is the only one worthy of our confidence. That's Neil for prayer.